open up the Subcommittee on General Government, Transportation, and Economic Development. This morning is Tuesday, June 14, 2005. We're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2601, referring to a general fund appropriation to the city of Gresham. And we're going to ask if Senator Mona Sanderson and Representative Lim could both come up. Would that be all right? Or both be up here? Welcome. We're honored to have the both of you in our committee today, and we'd allow, why don't we have ladies go first, and we'll have the senator start.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Mona Sanderson from Gresham, representing East parts of East Multnomah County. And the history of this appropriation actually originated with Representative Lim, and he came to me and said, Lori, don't you think that we should really look to try and advance our cultural arts center in Gresham? And I said, absolutely. Gresham turns 100 years old this year, and it started out as a farming community. And when I went to school there in the 50s and 60s, we relied, and for many, many years, we relied on our schools and later on Mount Hood Community College to really provide the culture. We have outstanding music and drama programs. But we were growing up, and we have more than 20 cultural organizations in East Metro in the East Metro community, and there really is a strong need for a center for arts. As the city of Gresham has noted, the center will build community, foster creativity, encourage economic development, that's critical, and stand as a lasting landmark of community pride. And I really do agree with them. Gresham is a community of warm residents and diverse activities, from the local farmers market to the wonderful, well-attended Mount Hood Jazz Festival. House Bill 2601 will send a message to our local communities that the state supports learning, economic development, and encourages creativity among its residents. Thank you for your time and support from the Gresham Center for Arts.
Thank you very much. Representative.
Thank you. The Chair Smith and members of the committee, and for the record, my name is John Lin, representative District 50, which is Gresham, and I lived in Gresham area for more than 33 years, and I'm an Oregonian, I'm Greshamite, and I'm proud to be a resident of Gresham. Certainly, as Senator Anderson already mentioned, Gresham is, we celebrated 100 years old. And then, as you remember, the House Bill HCR5, which commemorates 100 years old of Gresham, has been passed out of the House in February, and in March also passed out of the Senate. So it's already done there. To commemorate 100 years of history, which is 30 years older than I am, and then this is a really good thing. Not only Gresham Arts Center is the center in Gresham, but Gresham itself is the center. When you're going to the Mount Hood, you gotta pass Gresham. And when you go to the Columbia Gorge, you gotta pass by Gresham area. If you wanna go to the Sisters, you gotta pass Gresham if you go choose that route. In other words, Gresham is the gateway that to and from east and west. If you look at the north, there is a Washington state. So I consider Gresham is one of the central points in the state of Oregon. So this is a logical location to have a Gresham Arts Center. Gresham Arts Center doesn't necessarily mean for the Gresham people only. Only this art center will be located in Gresham, so we call it Gresham Art Center. This is for all that the county, not only Multnomah County, but all of the Oregonians can come and visit Gresham Art Center. I just want to mention one thing. If you go to Gresham, there's a road called the Orient. I'm not sure why the name of Orient came from, but many Korean people came to Hawaii that year 1902, And then, after many years lived over there, about 7 years ago, they came to Gresham to live. That was the first place Korean American came to Oregon. I guess that's why they call that area Orient Road. I'm proud to be an Oregonian. I'm also being very proud as a Korean American. This art center, if you fund $1 million, which we are asking, will bring more than $1 million in many, many coming years. This will bring jobs, this will bring visitors, this will bring more economic viability in that region. So this is educational, cultural, and I do appreciate everything you can do to fund this great program. This is not, we are not depending on the state government fundings, but we, Gresham people and East Multnomah County, we are having a private fundraising, which I also promised to give $3,000 for this great project. So any support you can give on this great project, I would appreciate it. If I may add, this is a take-home bill for me. Thank you.
Any questions for either the senator or the representative?
Well, I need to point out a few things. First of all, I truly have a conflict of interest and a bias because I grew up in the Gresham area. And as I look at page 2 on this handout, I'm looking at this street that actually used to have a Rexall drugstore.
That's right.
And I remember as a young child digging through the laundry to find 75 cents or a dollar to go down to Rexall drugstore to buy 25-cent candy bars or to get ice cream at the little counter they used to have in the Rexall drugstore, and then go down to, if I remember correctly, is J.C. Park, which was across the street. And so this brings back great memories. I also, as I look at the Capitol campaign leadership list, I notice several names on there, and actually a few of those folks will be speaking today. And so what an opportunity for the city of Gresham.
Thank you very much.
So you were a Gresham kid, Mr. Chair?
I was actually a Bruin, a Barlow Bruin.
Sorry.
Yes. And actually, as I...
You had to ask.
Yeah. I did start Civil War in the middle of the hearing here.
Yeah.
Now, you have one thing when you're done.
Okay, but in terms of geography, if you look at page 2, there's a mountain on the back, or a hill on the back. The home I grew up in was on the back side of that mountain. So,
Mr. Chair, we'd like to have you back to Gresham as long as you promise not to run against me.
Well, you two are doing a fabulous job.
For okay. And my chair and the members of the committee, and then here for my ear, that they're wearing my the sunglass, because yesterday I had that cosmetic surgery. So that's the only reason I'm wearing this high style sunglasses.
It looks like it comes up from the Batman movie.
I also put on the record that Representative Lim was my neighbor growing up, and he lived down in Darling Park.
Exactly.
And I lived up off of Regner
on
Kelly. So I would also invite the two of you, if you'd like, if time allows, for you to come up and be up here with us, or you can head on to your committees wherever you need to go. But the invitation is there to be up here with us.
Thank you. So I would be more comfortable in here.
Okay.
We'll sit with our crowd.
Okay, you bet. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Avakian had a question.
That's okay. Well, no, it's not a question. You can go ahead. I think you're hitting on something that is of such great importance, and that's the tying of arts and cultural programs and facilities to economic development. It's also a community development project, but it's a legitimate economic development project, something that we have not focused on until now. And you doing this helps bring that to the forefront. I wanted to let you both know, too, there's a bill currently in Senator Brown's committee on the Senate side that will modify the definition of public works project under the Economic and Community Development Department to include arts and cultural facilities, which I think would be a tremendous boon, not just for Gresham, but for the entire state. And so I would encourage you to stay in touch with your senators over there since time is running out and get that bill through.
Terrific. What we're going to do is we actually have a list of presenters. Oh, Senator.
I need to know the name of that bill.
And I'll need to get it for you.
Okay.
Which I would be happy to do.
I'm going to call on Sue O'Halloran. Halloran. And then also, if we could have Mayor Becker come up as well. And so we'll start off with Sue, and then we'll go to the mayor. So, and if we could just have each of you introduce yourselves for the record.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Sue O'Halloran, and I'm here representing the campaign committee for the Center for the Arts. So I'm going to start off with a few opening comments, and then I'm going to read a letter to you from our campaign chairman, who is unable to be here. And then from there, our mayor is going to take over and talk about some of the economic points. Our Gresham Center for the Arts proposes to serve 1,374,011 Oregonians, which represents 40% of Oregon residents who live in East Multnomah County, Clackamas County, and Hood River County, all within a 25-mile radius of the Center for the Arts site. Gresham, as Oregon's fourth largest city, and the East Metro region are significantly underserved by cultural venues and programs. We will draw from Oregon City to the Columbia River, from Portland to Mount Hood and Hood River, and this will just transcend political boundaries, bringing together people of common interests. It does address Gresham's strategic plan, which has a priority for increased citizen access to arts and culture via a Center for the Arts located in our historic downtown Gresham. It also fits Metro's regional transit-oriented district criteria, being located four blocks from Max's East End, and then also served by bus and the Sandy Transit Service as well. So we believe it meets regional and statewide need for quality performance venues. So with those opening comments, then I'm going to move to a letter from Stan Morris. Dear Representative Smith and members of the subcommittee, my name is Stan Morris, and I am a co-chairman of the Capital Campaign for the Gresham Center for the Arts. I urge your committee to approve House Bill 2601, the bill before you, in support of $1 million for the Center for the Arts. Today, you will receive a list of reasons why support of this bill is the right thing to do. I would like to expand on one of those reasons. Over the past 40 years, many events, decisions, and projects have occurred to make Gresham a regional center. Gresham Mayor Charles Becker is in attendance right here beside me and can expand on those comments. Between 1972 and 1980, Dr. Becker and I served as Gresham councilmen. We both also served terms as chairman of the East Multnomah County Transportation Committee. Representation on this committee was from Portland, Multnomah County, four cities, East County, and ODOT. During these years, historic transportation decisions were made in the region. Gresham became the first city outside Portland to embrace the concept of a light rail transit system. Ask anyone in Gresham, and they will tell light rail begins in Gresham. In this same era, the Mount Hood Freeway was abandoned, and the concept of sub-regional centers served by a transit infrastructure was conceived. In every way, the Center for the Arts supports 40 years of transit and land use policies in the metro region. This is what is supposed to happen. The Gresham Center for the Arts will build community, foster creativity, encourage economic development right in the heart of the regional center created by our state's planning and legislation. In this, our city's centennial year, it will support a vision 100 years in the making. Thank you for your consideration. Dan Morris, co-chairman, Gresham Center for the Arts Capital Campaign. So that concludes my comments, and the mayor then will continue on with some of the economic development components.
Really quick, let me ask a question. Help me visualize. Where's the location of this again?
It's in the center of historic downtown Gresham. So like many other downtowns, we have the main avenue.
Right.
And then the next street to the east is Roberts. Right. The next street over is Hood. And so it's on Hood, and it's between 2nd and 3rd. So 2nd is actually one block up from Powell.
Yep.
So it's located between two major arterials for Gresham, which is Powell and Division, and then Hood is actually one of our bus line runs along there as well, and then it leads directly up to where the central station stop is for the MAX line.
And what's currently located there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it was actually a brownfield site. So with the assistance of volunteer members of the Gresham Downtown Development Association, working with some out-of-state owners and out-of-the-area owners, help them to understand the benefits of donating to the city. City working then with DEQ and some grant monies did the site cleanup, and so now the site is ready for development. So we had owners then that benefited from the brownfield opportunity, got that tax benefit. City received then a site that has been valued at about $1.5 million. So it is right in the heart, but also at the point where it's a catalyst for the rest of the easterly development of downtown.
Welcome, Mayor.
Good morning, Representative Smith and members of the committee. It's a privilege and an opportunity that seldom I get to come down and speak before a committee or a subcommittee. When we talk about economic development in Gresham, we're talking about the opportunities for continued growth and building wealth within the community. We have kind of a motto which says building community wealth through educational opportunities, industrial opportunities, and creating jobs. And this project certainly deals with all three of those particular elements. I think when we talk about business development, we need to look beyond just this cultural center as to what the impacts will be of the cultural center within the community. You may have heard of Springwater and Pleasant Valley. Those are two areas that have been designated to be annexed to Gresham, added to the urban growth boundary. We look for additional 15,000 to 30,000 jobs with those two projects, and we look to an increase in somewhere around 15,000 citizens. So our city continues to grow, but as was mentioned previously, we have a very large area that we can serve with our cultural center, you know, arts center, and I think that's very important to look at. You talk about a catalyst for development, for economic development. The downtown area has kind of been asleep for a while, but if you have been in Gresham recently, you will notice that the Civic Center is an area that has developed in the last 5 years, and that center has been an economic boom to Gresham, to East County. We see that same kind of impact happening from the development of the downtown area, and this arts center can certainly be a catalyst to bring that through to fruition. As we look at the opportunities for jobs, we know that during the construction, this will create jobs, and there will also be jobs through the center as it is put into operation. We think that the social and the artistic and cultural vitality of the community can be enhanced and needs to be enhanced. We have the opportunities to build upon the foundation that we have in our school programs and also in our community college. So I think our citizens are much more interested now than in the past, and our citizens want to stay in our community and not necessarily traverse to some other area to participate in the arts and to enhance their quality of their life with those exposures. I think when we look at how Gresham works as a with partnerships. Last year we looked at partnerships providing opportunities, and we look for who can we partner with to benefit. And I think we look at our three sister cities out in Gresham, Fairview, Wood Village, and Troutdale. We also look at the unincorporated area from all the way up to Corbett as an opportunity to provide a venue of arts and culture to those citizens. I think when we look also at the city of Gresham, we have committed over $3 million to this project already. I think that indicates a significant commitment to this arts center. And I think that it also recognizes that the citizens of Gresham are supportive of this idea. And as we move forward, we see that there's going to be added momentum to this facility. I think the other thing is that we have to recognize that not only do the citizens want this type of thing, but individual citizens have long had this taste in their mouth and really a strong desire to grip this and to provide these kinds of opportunities to our citizens. I think we have to give credit to our capital committee who has gone out and made contact with foundations. We know that foundations also often wait until there is a larger commitment before they make a commitment to these kinds of activities. So we think that this contribution grant by you, if you should so approve, will help to facilitate those added donations from foundations in the future. I think when we look at how broad this outreach is, we look at both Senator Smith and Senator Wyden have gone to the Federal Appropriations Committee and have granted $250,000 for this project. So there is a strong desire across many entities for this project. I think that the funding of this will provide an economic development and facilitate it rather than provide for Gresham, and that Gresham is a growing community and it needs this type of venue. So I thank you for this opportunity to speak before you.
Thank you very much. Mayor, really quick for the record, could you just give us your full name?
My name is Charles Becker. I am mayor of Gresham.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you. I would like to point out you raise an interesting point in terms of the economic development benefit. Representative Abakian and I have had numerous discussions talking about that economic development is so many things to so many people. And in many parts of the state of Oregon, the development of art and culture and preserving history is economic development. And the more we can do to support those type of efforts, the more we're going to do in enhancing the livability of a community, which in return will create greater economic prosperity for everyone. So we truly appreciate your leadership on this, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At the same time, if I could add to that comment, I would hate for us to get into the cycle of always tying it to economic development, because
right.
I think there's just tremendous intrinsic value to arts and culture within a community, and I think that entitles you to the money more than the economic development connection does.
It's interesting you said that, because it's amazing how folks come in and they need to talk about jobs, thinking they need to tie that to economic development, and you and I are looking beyond that.
I'm also curious, as you have more speakers come up, if somebody wants to address a piece of what availability there will, for arts and culture there will be to the children in your community in particular. One of the concerns to me is as we lose these programs from our public education system, which we are losing at a huge rate everywhere in the state, it would be particularly important to me how you're going to reach out to the kids in your community.
Could I respond to that?
Okay.
One of the opportunities that I've had was to visit Japan, our sister city in Japan. And I visited their community centers, their cultural centers. And what they have is they have educational opportunities where they have programs for ceramics and dance and music. We plan on this facility have those kinds of opportunities for educational purposes, which will provide our young people and our citizens opportunities to participate and learn in those various art forms.
And I would encourage you that in addition to doing that, keep the pressure on your school boards to get those things back in the core curriculum of your schools so this doesn't end up replacing that.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Mayor.
You.
Well,
I'm done lecturing now. They're doing a wonderful job. They don't need me doing that.
Well, Representative Bakken, your comments are timely because I'm going to call two more individuals up, one of which is going to I believe talk about children.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Everett and Janet Bowser, if you could come up. If you could just introduce yourselves for the record, and I'll
let the two of you decide who wants to speak first.
I'm Kathy Everett. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for letting me make the presentation today. And I'm the executive director of the Gresham Downtown Development Association, and I represent over 150 property owners in historic downtown Gresham and the regional center of Gresham. The mission of our organization is to assist property owners and the city in the development and promotion of downtown Gresham as an economic, historic, and civic and cultural center. In the early 1990s, downtown Gresham was about 40% vacant and getting worse by the month. The area had the lowest rental rates in the metro area, and abandoned buildings flourished. Owners didn't think that downtown was worth saving, let alone investing money in, and there was concerns that we'd lose our post office and our library. Cracked sidewalks, unsightly overhead power lines were part of the decor. Even worse, we had no infrastructures if anybody had been crazy enough to even try and build. Yet what was indicative of what is our 100-year history in Gresham in our community, local business owners and property owners, city leaders refused to give up, and after 13 years later, with a lot of teamwork and planning, we're beginning to see the vision for our community come together. Today we have over 250 businesses with about 1,200 employees, specialty stores lining Main Avenue, and over two dozen restaurants and eateries in downtown Gresham. Nobody can feign a bad hair day in downtown Gresham for the 30-some salons that we have there. Four major banks have branches in downtown Gresham, and we didn't lose that post office or library, and they did indeed expand. Many of our streets have been rebuilt and beautified. Our current vacancy rate is low, although the rents have increased, much to the complaints of some of those tenants. Mixed-use buildings have grown, row houses are being built, and loft apartments have been built, and more are being planned. Simply stated, you can walk through downtown Gresham and see and witness, strolling through downtown Gresham, the dining and civic and historic opportunities that we have, all within four blocks of light rail, a block of Main City Park, and two blocks of Springwater Trail. Now we find ourselves in phase two of this renaissance, and this redevelopment will include more mixed-use building projects, one which is ready to break ground this summer. And these jobs will create more retail space and more well-designed, high-density residential units. And the driving catalyst for these projects is the Center for the Arts. This is the key element that is missing in our downtown. A successful and healthy downtown has three key elements. That's the civic element, the historic element, and the cultural element. We already have those strong civic elements. We are the historic part of Gresham, and now this project will be our cultural element. The flexibility of this facility to accommodate a multitude of indoor and outdoor events year-round will bring economic opportunity to these businesses year-round rather than seasonally. We'll bring audiences to the businesses night and day, weekends. It will continue to support Gresham as a destination place. And most importantly, serve our own community for needs that we always had to go to Portland for before, the arts and culture. And it represents an industry that will draw creative new retail and ancillary business and services to historic downtown. This will be a focal point that is going to energize some current investments in Gresham, re-energize some very stagnant investments that we have, and draw some new investments to the area. The project and the infill opportunities will create numerous construction jobs. Long-term employment and year-round event support jobs will result when the project's completed. Gresham's commitment to its downtown and this project is integral in attracting the high-level businesses that will be needed to support the Springwater project. The Center for the Arts is essential for the growth of our downtown, which is the heart of our community. And a city with a healthy heart is one that will lead us to our next 100 years with pride and vision for our families, for new business, and for new industry. And an economically healthy downtown Gresham means a prosperous Gresham. and its fourth largest city. As this fourth largest city in Gresham grows, so will Oregon. So we respectfully ask you for your support of this project. I'm happy to ask you for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Really quickly, two questions. You talked about the library. I remember a historic library that was on. What is that now?
It's the historic museum.
It's a museum.
It's the Carnegie Library, is it? Mm-hmm. This historic museum now.
Oh, that's terrific. The second question, Springwater. Where's Springwater? I don't recall that name.
Springwater, the project?
Where did you come up with Springwater, the name?
No, I can probably answer that. Springwater actually was taken from the Springwater Trail, which runs alongside Johnson Creek. And Springwater is actually the big expansion of our boundaries to the east, of which when we talked about the expansion, actually the relationship to downtown was an integral part of how we see that Springwater developing.
So that must be the old railroad that became is a Rails to Trails project.
Right. And that's become known as the Springwater Trail, and it runs down into Portland, and eventually will. I'm not sure that right now it connects all the way to the Willamette River, but the plan is Willamette River goes out to Boring, then has a hook that comes through Fairview, not totally completed, but part of that is funding now, and then will connect to the trail that runs along the Columbia River as well. So part of that whole 40-mile loop.
One of the worst spankings I ever got was when I was in fourth grade, and I skipped school with a buddy, and my, you know, little did I know the school would call the parents, and they caught me down at Johnson Creek right off the railroad.
History.
I don't know why I'm sharing that. It's just kind of like memory lane here.
On record too.
Yeah, it's on record. I can see the next campaign.
You're a good example to the children of Oregon.
That's right. Please go ahead. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Janet Malzer. I am here as a teacher in support of arts education in Oregon. I have some tales to tell, too. My great-grandfather was a German immigrant who at 16 sailed around South American Horn to Oregon Territory. He ran steamships that carried immigrants and cargo down the Great Oregon Rivers, founded a city and sponsored early education bills, and left all his land to the church when he died. I suppose he is the reason I have the proud and social-minded blood of a teacher running in my veins. In 1946, I began first grade in Oregon schools and later graduated from an Oregon university. When I recall some of the education experiences provided for me in Oregon elementary and secondary schools, I remember things like making native villages out of straw and mud, and putting on a costume and a wig in the third grade, and dancing a minuet to celebrate the times of George Washington. I loved going to music class, learning to read music and create rhythms and singing in programs in the school auditorium. I learned in art class that yellow and blue, when mixed, would magically make green. I drew hundreds of pictures and was introduced to the drawing of native birds, and I know to this day that the Western Meadowlark is our official Oregon bird. In fifth grade, we listened to classical music and moved emotionally to its musical messages. We even had ballet classes for an extra activity. In seventh grade, we did a ballet of Peter and the Wolf. In high school, I traveled to speech tournaments, music, and play festivals, competing in oral interpretation and poetry. I shared the choral music experience with other high school choirs. I loved theater and was always a part of every school play. We read Shakespeare plays and acted scenes from them and learned ethnic dances in gym class. That was my reality of school, and I thought it would always be like that. Many of you are sitting here thinking, I had experiences like that too. Times have changed. Yes, you and I were lucky enough in even less prosperous times to have education and state support for the arts
in the schools. And more amazingly, we did not have to pay to play, to learn and participate in any of these arts and performing arts activities. I, along with my sister, was raised by a single working mother. Mother didn't have much extra money to spend after the rent and the bills were paid, so she always told us to get involved at school. And we did. It didn't cost us anything extra, and the art and music, dance and speech and journalism helped foster our creativity and sensitivity to others, and it was free. We always felt that adults cared about us and our school. We both became student leaders. Mother introduced us to opera by taking us to free music festivals in Washington Park, where we would sit under the stars on the grass and be swept away by La Traviata, Kismet, and Oklahoma. There wasn't money for college, and many of our clothes came from the Goodwill, but Mother insisted we were going somehow. We both earned scholarships and worked after classes in college to earn our way. To make a long story short, my sister became a TV writer-producer, winning 8 Emmys, and I became a high school theater teacher at Centennial School in Gresham, president of the Oregon Theater Arts Association, Oregon State Thespian Director, directing over 100 productions in my 30 years of teaching. Great-grandfather would be proud of my Oregon education. After teaching all those years at Centennial, my heart feels close to the Gresham area, to its families, businesses, and schools, to a Miss America who was one of my students. I am proud that she, too, supports the arts. Gresham has grown, is now the fourth largest city in Oregon. Unfortunately, we are the only city of our size in Oregon which lacks an arts and cultural center. With daily cuts in school arts funding, a facility like this is important to our youth, our schools, and to our culture and economic development in our area. The outreach programs, performances, and classes the Arts Center can provide will enhance the education of our youth, our community, and our state. Yes, the arts have played and continue to play an important role in my life, in your lives, and in the lives of Oregon students. You, as representatives of our government and citizens like me, must advocate and sustain support for the arts so future generations, rich, poor, and new American immigrants coming to Oregon can blend with traditional Oregon families and grow in harmony through the arts. They deserve no less. We are Oregonians. Let us remember that our children are part of our environment as well. We must sustain their growth with as much care as we do our trees. The arts challenge our students' creative thinking, enhance their cultural understanding, teach them how to work together to produce work they can be proud of, entertain others, and at the same time reflect on our society and develop a social conscience. Raising children who think and question and create is important to sustaining of our democracy. As the citizens of Gresham move forward in the fundraising for our new center, I ask that you work together with us and Representative Lim and Senator Anderson in the support of House Bill 2601. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Done like only a great public school teacher.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much. We appreciate your
Thank
testimony.
You
I would add, Mr. Chair, that the Gresham is not the only city of its size that doesn't have something like that. Beaverton, which is my city, also does not have a performing arts center or an arts and cultural center. And they are undergoing the same type of movement that I think you're a little bit further ahead with. Many of our, hopefully you're a leader in this regard that a lot of communities will follow.
I appreciate you blazing that trail. Okay, we're going to call Mary McSwain and Betsy Hatton. And if I'm mispronouncing names, please forgive me on this. Welcome. You can just introduce yourselves for the record.
Well, I'm Mary McSwain. I'm the chair of the Gresham Mount Hood Jazz Association.
Can you bring the microphone,
sure,
please, closer to you? Thank you.
You want to introduce yourself now or later?
Either way, I'm Betsy Hatton. I'm the executive director of the Columbia Symphony Orchestra in Portland.
Thank you. Well, part of the Mount Hood Jazz Festival's mission is to promote appreciation of jazz as a unique American art form and to provide a continuing source of cultural awareness through education and regional participation throughout the Northwest. And we believe the Center for the Arts is the ideal place for this to happen. Last year, the festival had audience members from 14 different states and two foreign countries, Japan and Canada, and from two different cities in Japan, too, so I thought that was interesting. But the majority of our audience clearly comes from the Portland metropolitan area. Actually, most of them come from outside Gresham, a lot of them from Beaverton, Lake Oswego, downtown Portland. And four years ago, we moved the festival from the college grounds to Main City Park in downtown Gresham. And moved it closer to the heart of Gresham. I think in the past people would fly off I-84 and go to the college and enjoy the festival and get back on the road and never see what Gresham had to offer. We're very happy to move it to the heart of downtown Gresham. And we actually did a survey last year, and we got a 5% return rate on this survey. And those who, one of the questions was, what is your impression of historic downtown Gresham? And we received a rating of average of 8 out of 10, with 10 being a very high rating. People enjoyed being in historic downtown Gresham for the festival. And we believe it also makes the festival more festive. This year we are involving restaurants as other venues, along with the big venue entertainment, and it just makes it a lot more of a fun thing to do in the summer by involving the community more than it has been in the past. We are in the process of a major transformation. The festival has been known as a one-time big summer event, and we are actually changing that to a number of different events throughout the year, with our flagship summer event being the main event still. And as we prepare for our 25th anniversary, our plans include sponsoring jazz performances and jazz education workshops throughout the Portland metropolitan area and, of course, in Gresham as well. We already have something called Adventures in Jazz, which takes place year-round at venues in Portland throughout the year. It's part of our outreach to get jazz in front of people. We are working to have educational outreach to our local schools and institutions. And we would like to expose more people to jazz, and young people in particular to jazz. If you look at the jazz audience, they're an older crowd, and that troubles us, as our mission is to expose more people to jazz. So people do enjoy jazz once they get exposed, so our mission is to get it out there in front of people. And your packets actually do contain a resolution of support from the Gresham Barlow School Board, and they have great interest in partnering with us for cultural enrichment programs for the children. And we also, outreach doesn't have to just be to children. There are a lot of people who turn to jazz in their 30s and 40s as they get more sophisticated tastes in music. We think these classrooms at the center will provide the great space we need for educational workshops in one place. And the outdoor plaza provides a great place for outdoor performances with minimal setup costs. The costs that we spend fencing in areas, providing trailers for the artists. These artists come for the festival and they have these hot trailers, and you know, we really want to treat them a little better than that. The Center for the Arts would allow us to do that. The Max Line location is so close. It really does encourage, again, people of all ranges of economic backgrounds to be able to come to the festival. It's only a 4-block walk now away from the festival if we have it at the Center for the Arts. So by providing the Mount Hood Jazz Festival a central focal point, really a home to operate out of, I think this Gresham Center for the Arts will provide a home for jazz lovers throughout the Northwest and beyond, not just in even East County. We really serve a much greater audience than that. Thank you, and I would love to answer any questions that you might have.
Please, Representative Avakian.
You're undoubtedly familiar with Thera Memory's jazz band at the Arts and Communication School in Beaverton, yeah. Nationally recognized program out there, which we are very proud of, and which works off of a temporary makeshift stage in what amounts to about a 70-year-old elementary school auditorium with virtually no sound equipment, contemporary sound equipment, or even seating. And you add on to that the fact that Beaverton has no performing arts center. We have a real gem with no place to put it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we would love to give him a place to put it. And they, in fact, played at our festival last year, and we invited them back again this year. And we sponsored them at the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival last year. So we're great fans of Thera Memory's band, and he has such a passion for teaching jazz to those students, and they're very lucky to have him. We also in East County have some wonderful instructors who would love something in the summer to be able to use. And indeed, the Mount Hood Community College has the Mount Hood Repertory Theater there in the summer, using their theaters for rehearsals and for the stages set up and so forth. So truly, we don't have the facility of a large performing arts center during the summer that's available for performances like this. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Again, my name is Betsy Hatton. I'm with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra. And you probably haven't heard of us, but we've been around for 23 years in downtown Portland. We're called Portland's other orchestra, clearly other, because we're not the size of the Oregon Symphony, but we are 90% professional musicians. We put on 5 to 6 subscription concerts each year and have been trying to expand that by repeating our concerts somewhere. Well, we targeted Gresham, so I'm terribly excited about this. We already have started a series. We've gotten dates booked in with the Good Shepherd Church out in Boring. It's one thing to play in a church or to play on a stage in a multi-purpose room in a high school or a grade school. The music is great. It lacks something of professional quality. It does diminish the experience many times for the patron. I won't say for the musicians, because you're always so caught up with what you're doing that, you know, you could be playing in a baseball field and it would be a wonderful experience. But to have something like this in an area that does not have a performance hall, that's the hardest thing that I have found as executive director, is going out and trying to find another place to perform. We perform downtown. We have a nice following. We want to do this for several reasons. We want to, for our own musical experience, we want to repeat our concerts. Obviously, economically, the more performances that you put on, because you've already made the investment in all of the rehearsals and rental of the music and marketing, you'd like to put it on again. But we also would like to serve more patrons. When I was doing my research out there, I heard over and over, we're starved for classical music out here. We have to come in to Portland, and it's a long ways, or it's at night. And so we're targeting that area with some more family-friendly times, which would be 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And hopefully that will, people would be driving in the daytime. They'll be able to bring families. They'll be able to bring their senior citizens who don't necessarily want to go out in the evenings. I know I don't have to lecture about the value of arts based on your comments already, but I always like to think, we talk about arts in education. Arts is education. And what the niche that the Columbia Symphony fills is that our musicians, the majority of which are, well, 90% are union musicians, have other types of jobs to support their habit of making music, actually. But they're still excellent musicians, many of them conservatory trained, and we offer a quality, professional quality orchestra that is not a full-time profession. We also offer opportunities for the young soloists in the area, and that's one of our missions as well, is to feature young local artists, many of them who are at Peabody or Rice at the moment. We bring them back to town. These are kids that grew up here, and offer them the opportunity to perform with a symphony orchestra.
Interrupt you right there, really quick. How do you identify those youth, or how do they find you?
Sometimes it's through their teachers. Many times it's our conductor, Hugh Edwards, has a vast network with these young musicians because he was the conductor of PYP for 7 years. And we have a huge wealth of musicians in Portland. It's amazing. We have more people wanting to play and solo than we have slots for, including the Oregon Symphony musicians, who are great orchestral musicians but rarely get to stand up in front of a symphony orchestra and solo.
So do they audition then for those spots?
The artistic director selects them, and he usually is aware of them. People do come, and then they would play they send a tape.
Let me ask one more question on this. Is it just in the metro area, or is it statewide that you would allow?
Region. We have some people from Washington, Seattle area, but we keep within the two states.
See, I think just really quick. I think one opportunity we're missing statewide is an opportunity for all children to learn about these opportunities, and so much of it's financial.
Absolutely, and we have a really small budget. We stretch a nickel as far as it can go. You mentioned the Arts and Communication Academy. Dance West is one of our soloists this year, doing Appalachian Spring. So that's we are reaching out to different disciplines as well. This is a huge opportunity for us to have a place, a professional quality place to play out in Gresham. And we don't want to remove ourselves from downtown necessarily, but we believe that we probably will get a more of a following because there's less competition, if you will, and there's nobody out there doing what we do. We're happy that the church has been accommodating to us, and we may even continue a series out there as well. We generally draw between 500 to 600 people, so this would be a small venue for us, but that means we would do a repeat concert. We would have maybe a Wednesday night concert and a Sunday night concert out there. And to have the community have a focal point for the arts, where there's a slate of multiple events, where somebody who wants to see dance comes and sees our concert with Dance West, someone who's interested in piano. This whole next year is going to be featuring mostly piano soloists. It just would be a terrific asset to the community. And it is very close to Portland. I think you will draw many, many people from all areas out for this type of center. And I did bring some information about the orchestra just in case you were curious about who we are.
I am, and perhaps afterwards you could pass that on. I have a son who is in the Eastern Oregon Honors Band, and as a seventh grader is in the high school band. But other than that, being from Heppner, the opportunities are extraordinarily limited. And so, you know, every opportunity to expose those type of children to this type of venue is a benefit.
Right, and we distribute approximately 200 outreach tickets to each concert to social service agencies in 14 schools as well. We get about a 23% return. So, because we want everybody to have access, we keep our ticket prices low. We're still the lowest priced ticket of anybody we know in this area to come to a symphony orchestra.
Maybe at a future time you and I can talk and I can help try and spread the word in Eastern Oregon for you.
That would be wonderful.
Anyway, please continue.
Thank you. Well, that's just about all I have to say because, like I said, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because you all are aware of the benefit of the arts. And again, I will repeat that one of the most difficult tasks we have had in expanding our season is there's no place to play. So,
thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to call Dr. Stoney and Kay Finney. Finney, if you could come on up. Welcome. If you could just introduce yourselves for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Gordon Stoney from Fairview, Oregon. I wish to certainly express my appreciation to, for our pleas for help in the East County area. I was a member of the Mountain Festival of Jazz Board for about 9 years, which was really an honor. My specific responsibility, and I bring this up because of your comments about Thera Memory, my responsibility on that board was treating the youth in jazz. And the chief of the faculty was Mel Brown, who is certainly one of the best-known Oregon musicians, and is still with that, by the way. And also, Thera Memory was on the faculty. So I knew him fairly well, and he's a great guy, and I think very highly of him. So no question about the appreciation of the arts in East County. As I said, I'm from Fairview. It's a small town. It's approximately 10,000 people. And recently, of course, has undergone explosive growth, not unusual in these days. Next to it is Wood Village, a smaller town, and next to that is Troutdale, a somewhat larger town. I bring these up to point out the size of the potential audience in East County. And as you perhaps know, it's even much larger than that. Then there's Corbett, which is a larger geographic area, and the West Columbia Gorge, and south of the Gresham area, there is Boring, Orient, Damascus. And as previously pointed out, this area encompasses about 1.4 million people. So I think that there are certainly a number of people there, a sufficient number of people to finance and to appreciate and to support this facility. So I'm being brief in saying that I appreciate your interest, and I think that the interest in the arts is there, and I would appreciate anything you can do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kay Finney, and I'll keep this brief. I don't want to duplicate a lot of things they've said, but I live in the town of Corbett, so I'm basically representing myself, but I've been on our local community association for 10 years, and I've also been a member of the West Columbia Gorge Chamber of Commerce for 2 years now, and I'm not speaking for these organizations, but the West Gorge Chamber does cover Fairview, Wood Village, Troutdale, Gresham, Troutdale, Bridalveil, Corbett, Springdale, all the way to Cascade Locks. So in our Corbett community itself has 3,000 people. So in all the years that I've worked with these organizations and dealt with different business people, I've just seen a real resurgence of the arts there. It's amazing. Even in the Springdale and Corbett schools, the performing arts are very, very popular. I know Reynolds School in Troutdale, and they're growing. Our arts area and our arts community is growing tremendously. Also, we are seeing a lot of performing people, a lot of people. Our whole community has changed in its diversity. It's just diversity toward the kinds of people they have there. So, and people are reconnecting to their communities. And I see this need. I see this real need. People don't want to connect with Portland. We're our own identity. All these areas are growing. They're merging. They're working together. And they don't connect with Portland, but they're connecting with each other. So I do see the real need for this. And I feel the need is there, the desire there, and the support is there for these kinds of centers.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Horner. Now, before you start, I have to know, are you the Mr. Horner who has two sons, one named Sean and one named after you, Jack?
I do, indeed. I have three sons. The other's named Matthew, and
that's right. That's right.
One of them was president of San Barlow.
You know, there's a story on that.
You bet
there
is.
Good to hold the gavel.
Uh-oh.
Sean. No, wait here. Sean was a very good friend of mine and actually beat me he became class president of the sophomore class, and we actually had to do a runoff election because the first election was a tie, and then he beat me after that. And
We went on to become very, very good friends and actually double dated our senior prom. So you guys are good. I don't know how you line this.
Well, I must tell you, Mr. Chairman, that it is very seldom that I get to address a hypnomaniacal Gresham-ite.
very quickly, Mr. Horner, if you could just introduce yourself.
My name is Jack Horner.
Thank you.
I have the unique distinction in this room of being the only person who actually lives in downtown. So I have a conflict of interest that now that I'm off the city council, I can acknowledge. Although it was looked into while I was on the city council, and it was still legitimate. I first came to Gresham in 1959 when it was about 9,500. I came back to live here permanently in 1976. It's now 100,000. I've watched some amazing things occur. When I bought my townhome in 1996, I expected a rapid rise in the assessment and therefore the value. It took about 9 years for it to quit being inverted and have some value. But it is largely due to people like Kathy Everett, Sue O'Halloran, and the many people who worked on the core of Gresham and made things happen despite pretty significant setbacks. I was in Gresham sitting on the city council when the atom bomb went off. Fujitsu, an international company which we had sought, looked upon as the savior of our economic development, decided to say goodbye. And all of a sudden we were in an international world that, as you know, in Oregon, we had to get used to operating with. Our persistence in dealing with things like the Cultural Arts Center has made Gresham sustain itself and grow. I've been around this project since we sat in a little room off a real estate office a couple of blocks from my house and kind of dreamt about this. Then a really creative man by the name of Cliff Kohler got together with the owner of the site, and ultimately that site was donated to the city. What we are about to have happen, given your goodwill and others, is to create on a former brownfield a cultural arts center. And that, I think, is not unique, but it's certainly recommending. I might add a couple of other things. First of all, when Mary McSwain was up here, who is my boss on the Mount Hood Jazz Festival board, she failed to mention a very important thing. This year, the Jazz Festival is being held on that Brown site, and we are trying to call attention not only to the fact that we're bringing jazz downtown, but it's on the site of the Cultural Arts Center. There's another entity that we've collaborated with on the Cultural Arts Center. I sit on the fundraising committee, incidentally, and that was the Portland Light Opera Association. So we have drawn the Columbia Symphony, the Portland Light Opera Association, the Mount Hood Festival of Jazz, and occasionally the Mount Hood Repertory Theater already, and we don't even have a tent for them to be under. I'd like to wrap up, and then we'll take your questions, by doing two things. First of all, I'd like anyone in the audience who's actually from Gresham and here to testify on behalf of this so that you can see who they are to stand up. Anybody that's here from Gresham to testify on this or to act in support of it. Okay. The reason I'm doing this, it was my experience as a politician. I'm a retired city councilor and president of the council. You have a hearing room that has a lot of hangers-on, listeners, newspaper people, and you think, my God, there's a whole room full of people, and there are only two people that support what you're hearing. I wanted you to understand that that's different with us. I'd like to read into the record something you probably already have, but it exemplifies the kind of thing that I think we're trying to wrap up here for you. It's a letter from Don Robertson, who was a former recreation director for the city and now the director of recreation parks for Ashland, to the committee. Dear Mr. Smith, it is with great excitement that I have learned about HB 2601 and the appropriation for support of the Gresham Center for the Arts. You may be curious as to why a letter of support for this project would come from Ashland, Oregon, of all places. I am a former Parks and Recreation Manager for Gresham, Oregon, and I'm currently Parks and Recreation Director for Ashland, Oregon. During my tenure in Gresham, I had the pleasure of working on the Center for the Arts project. I was present to see the property received by the city as little more than a polluted, fenced, enclosed, vacant lot in the heart of downtown. I was present to see the downtown business community gather and organize to encourage the city to redevelop that site into an arts center. I was present to see the site cleaned using city resources, federal resources, and state resources, and I was present to see the design take shape for the Center for the Arts. Shortly after the design phase, I was offered the position in Ashland and accepted a new career challenge. Excuse me. In this time I have been gone, however, I have followed its progress through both family and friends who reside in Gresham. As a resident and employee for Gresham, it was always my belief that Gresham suffered from low self-esteem. As the plans for the Center of the Arts developed, that low self-esteem seemed to change to one of new expectations, hopes, and dreams. Finally, Gresham is going to have a heart in the center of its town. Having relocated to Ashland, I can attest to the powerful economic forces that arts provide to a community. I believe that the center will provide a venue for increased tourism in Gresham. It will spur more downtown activity, which will translate into more meals purchased, goods sold, and jobs created. Gresham is also working hard to capture new business to the community. The Center for the Arts will aid in that endeavor by giving existing and future residents a source of pride and leisure pursuit. Mr. Smith, I could go on at great length about the importance of the Center for the Arts to the community of Gresham. I could talk about the benefits of the arts for the citizens and the region as local community, as the local community strengthens. But I will simply conclude with the statement that when this center is built, it will be the start of a newfound love affair between the citizens of Gresham and the heart of their city. I urge your support. Finally, I would say, Mr. Chairman, that I returned last night from a trip to Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Detroit. All of those cities benefited from great people. Thomas Jefferson put arts in Washington, D.C. The Mellons and the Fords put arts in Pittsburgh and Detroit. We want you to help us put arts in the city of Gresham. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Let's do this. I have some technical questions on the project, but I don't want to put anyone on the spot. So if there's someone who could help me answer some technical questions.
We can probably do that as a group if you want to try.
Is that all right?
Yeah, and Pam Baker is our campaign director, so perfect. Collectively, perhaps.
You and I. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Tell me, have you been working at all with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department on this project? If you could just identify yourself.
Sure. I'm Pam Baker, campaign director for the Center for the Arts. The campaign has not specifically worked with OECDD on this project, but that's certainly something we can pursue. We have talked with the Oregon Cultural Trust about future opportunities for operating support, whereas they're not capable of the large amounts needed for capital.
Well, let's. One of the things, in addition to, and I want to underline in addition, okay, in addition to House Bill 2601, what I would like is if Representative Lim and Senator Monis Anderson would put together a meeting, and I would be more than willing to come in and sit on that meeting, to put a meeting together with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, the Oregon Department of, Housing and Community Services, and also the Oregon Department of Transportation. And again, I underline in addition, okay, to sit down and find out what role those agencies can be playing to help bring this project forward, because they have multiple funding streams that they have sat at that table and have shared with us the purpose of those dollars, and I'd like to know how this project could fit in with those funding streams. Okay. You're looking at, well, Representative Lim is back there. He is chair of the policy committee over economic development, and I think if we had Senator Monis Anderson and Chair Lim and myself there, I think we could bring this issue to the forefront in their minds in the importance of trying to make a project of this occur. So that's one thought. Talk to me. in terms of an operational plan, operational budget. Once you're successful and you get this funded, how are you going to keep the doors open?
We did considerable research prior to launching the campaign so that we could answer those questions specifically for donors. And a lot of time was spent interviewing potential users of the center, like Betsy Hatton with Columbia Symphony, and both local and regional arts organizations, as well as businesses and organizations who might use it for non-arts uses and in between. We determined that at full utilization for a mix of farmers market, other arts markets, arts enrichment classes, dance, theater, commercial productions of, say, traveling artists as and jazz, orchestra, etc., that we would have be able to raise in rental income about three-quarters of the budget required to operate it. As you know, these traditionally do not operate in the black. That would that budget would require about $150,000 of contributed income each year, and a nonprofit is being established to actually manage and raise the ongoing operating funds to complement rental income. So there has been a business plan developed that is part of our, I didn't bring it for you today, but we can certainly provide it, part of our presentation as and demonstration that when we build it, they will come, and we will support it, and it can continue on.
And as a member of the fundraising committee, we have two avenues of fundraising. One is to build it, and the other is to sustain it. And what many organizations do is to try to get seed money to establish a trust, which they then build, which provides continuing income to support the deficit that these facilities normally run.
What I'd also add, and I underline in addition, is in the city of Gresham with Mount Hood Community College is a small business development center. That small business development center has been a sleeping center, if you will, for a period of time, but there is now a fabulous new director there who actually used to run a statewide network of SBDCs. And it's the intention of this chair to significantly enhance the role of SBDCs in terms of helping on projects. I would strongly encourage you to get a hold of that director and see what technical assistance they can provide, not only in terms of making sure the business plan is sharpened up and the operational plan is sharpened up, but they also have access to a lot of funding opportunities. They have the doors open to lenders who have foundations. They're also participants in federal programs, including USDA and SBA funding sources. And if I can help you by putting you on that path, I will as well. And please know that's an underlying addition.
Grow crops as well as sell them, and we'll get the USDA on board.
Well, USDA has tremendous funding opportunities for projects. Now, this may not fit because of the size of the city, but I do know that there's programs in there. But my profession is development. I'm an economic development professional, and so there's different funding programs that we ought to be looking at in addition to House Bill 2601. And again, I underline in addition. So.
And I can attest to Helen Sullivan's quality of her performance because I share space with Helen in the Small Business Development Center, and we hope to also share space with this project in the future. So we will all be working together in partnership.
Perfect. You'll be a name we remember in 2 years because we are going to, or it's my intent to enhance the role of SBDCs, and in 2 years we want to bring witnesses back to say whether or not they're following through. So thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay. What I want to do is we're only having a public hearing today on House Bill 2601. Representative Lim and Senator Montes Anderson have made it very clear how important this project is. Please know the Speaker of the House, Karen Minnis, who is your neighbor, has also made it clear that this is an important project.
And so we will, in the very near future, be readdressing House Bill 2601. Please feel free to stay in touch with myself or Representative Avakian or any other member of this committee as we progress through this. This is one of these issues, one of these bills that will be addressed really as we come down to crunch time.
I'd like to, I don't have a question, but I'd like to make a comment if
you're
I
back.
Could before we end. And not for the benefit of anybody in the room, because you folks, I mean, are truly the champions of this kind of a thing these days, and it was clear from your testimony. But because we're creating a legislative record, I'd like to make a few comments about what we're doing. And because I'm not from Gresham, I'm from Beaverton, we're trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. You're a little ahead of us. But this this is a project that, for all the reasons you presented today, I'm going to be very, very pleased to help you in any of your efforts to make sure that it gets done. I do have a concern, not about what you're doing. My concern is this, that we're moving very quickly in a lot of communities around Oregon to this type of a project in order to sustain arts. And what this shows me is a great commitment on the part of community leaders and residents to create some depth within your arts community. And you do that through financial investments, time, volunteers. My concern is the breadth of the exposure to arts. And I want to link that one more time before we end to public education, because we will consider and hopefully give $1 million to Gresham in order to do something extraordinary, while at the same time for 10 years in a row we will slash more than billions of dollars out of our public education system to the point where districts such as mine that used to have nationally recognized music and arts programs now provide 30 minutes of art instruction per month to their elementary schools staffed by parent volunteers. We no longer have one single band or orchestra in any elementary school. They've been completely eliminated. Gresham Barlow District has had similar experiences. Sam Barlow High School just 6 or 8 years ago had the best concert band in the state of Oregon, and they still have an extraordinary program, but they're hanging on by their fingernails. And you can go to every district in the state of Oregon and you can see the same type of absolute assault on music and arts programs. And my concern is that you do something like this, and that 20 and 30 years from now, what we have are multiple generations of children that didn't grow up with the same type of cultural awareness that many of you had when you were in school, and even 12 years ago, kids had in this state. And so I would just, more for the, like I say, for the creation of our legislative record here, would hope that we start addressing this issue in a much more societal perspective than simply trying to help out one project or here or there across the state. And I thank you for your indulgence, as that was not entirely relevant to the bill before us.
Well, I think it was. Representative Avakian has been very passionate about this issue and has made this very clear to not only this committee but to this entire legislative assembly. And I think he deserves a pat on the back for his leadership on that, because it's truly a cause that needs a steward. So
I appreciate that. I would take a couple $100 million over a pat on the back to get those music programs back. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, we look forward to having you folks come visit us again before the end of session. Please stay in touch with us, and we'll let you know how that proceeds forward. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2348 and ask Mr. Horner if you would just please send my best to Sean. You know, I don't even have a card on me. Let me see if I have one.
He should.
I should.
He's a consultant. He should have a card on
him. Yes. 1% of the city of Gresham will raise $18 million. That's it. Don't let him get you through that process. We have cut out, in addition, the outdoor school program, which gave most of the kids their final environmental perspective. So we're hitting it from two ends with stuff we'll never get back.
I think we will get it back. We're just trying to get it back real soon.
Yeah. Don't give up on it.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you. Have a great day. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2348 relating to Lieutenant Governor, and we're going to invite up Representative Lim. Welcome.
Thank you again, Chair. I do appreciate it. And again, for the record, my name is John Lim, Representative of District 50, which is the Gresham area. And this House Bill 2348 is a companion bill which we passed out already, the HJR 7, which is in the Senate Rules Committee now. And when that HJR 7 passed out from the legislature and from the people, we need this companion bill, which is House Bill 2348, which describes the duties and the responsibilities and obligation of the lieutenant governor. And it looks like some pages in there, but mostly a technical, just changes. And the only things I want to emphasize that the lieutenant governor will be the next in line to the governor in case the governor incapacitated, and also the lieutenant governor will be in charge of international trade division already existing, so there will be no tax dollars needed. And this lieutenant governor will not be presiding the Senate, and so that is something different from most of the state. With that, and I'm open to questions of this House Bill 2348.
I don't have any questions because I think this is an issue that we've discussed in numerous other venues.
Mr. Chairman, I have to admit that
Representative Crop.
Thank you, and I know that then Senator Lim had brought this idea forward. I think 4 years ago, Senator.
Oh, about
6 years ago.
6 years
six
ago.
6 years ago.
And 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I wasn't in favor of the concept then. The way that he has structured this, frankly, makes financial sense to me, and I am okay with the role of the lieutenant governor being constitutionally now elevated to be our number two position. I think there are some advantages in terms of trade with our Oregon's trading partners, primarily in the Pacific Rim. To have an individual who focuses on that those issues and representing the state of Oregon, I think it carries a lot of clout. It replaces an individual who's doing this type of work now. And so I'm fine with the concept and am willing to put this in front of the voters to let the voters judge for themselves if this is an appropriate change. Those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Me.
I would add, since we're creating the legislative record once again, that I appreciate Representative Krupp's comments very much about including the voters in these types of decisions. At the same time, I think this is perfectly within the purview of the legislature, as are a lot of issues, to simply address and make decisions, and would rather see us go in that direction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
I believe governor is the responsible person who should promote trade, but many a times governor's schedule sometimes cannot allow to move aggressively on international trade. In that case, the lieutenant governor could be a good position to promote that trade. And if we don't create one, other 47 states which already have lieutenant governor, they will be more advantageous than our state, especially the port state like California, Washington, all the east-west poor state, they do have a strong leadership as a lieutenant governor. Ours is the only state that they do not have lieutenant governor. I think this is a timely, and Oregon, Wyoming, and Arizona are the only states do not have a lieutenant governor. I think this is a good thing for the state. This will bring more jobs and more tax dollars to our state.
Much. Would you like to testify? Are you here?
No, sir.
These are my staff.
You're here with the boss. All right. We'll see no other comments to come before the panel. We are going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2348, and we are going to adjourn for the day. Thank you.